Shalom, beloved saints. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and welcome to the news commentary of our program. While the UN Security Council will hold an emergency meeting tomorrow to discuss the crisis situation of Israeli plans to build more Jewish homes in Jerusalem. Yeah, crisis. The urgent talks were requested by Jordan following a letter from the Palestinian Authority as to how this will inhibit any future peace talks, even though the areas Israel will be building are not even disputed territories and would have no effect anyhow. Well, do you think maybe the Palestinians are planning to try to take over these areas as well that were liberated in the 1967 war? Well, it's hard to tell what their evil minds are thinking, but Netanyahu had a great comeback when he replied to the international community that, and I'll quote, "We will continue to develop the ports in order to lower commodity prices. We will continue to build roads and railways to connect the center of the Negev and the Galilee. And we will continue to build in Jerusalem, our eternal capital." He went on to say that it was there, the UN's acknowledgement of this criticism by the Palestinians, that will ultimately hinder the future peace talks. For he said, "You are giving it credence." Because these statements are detached from reality. They are harboring false statements made by the Palestinians. And Netanyahu also added, "When Abbas incites the murder of Jews in Jerusalem, the international community is silent. And when we build in Jerusalem, that leaves them indignant." He said, "I do not accept the double standard here." Close quote. Yeah, it really is crazy stuff. And here's the real sad part. We, the United States, said last night, by State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki, that Washington was deeply concerned. And we continue to make our position absolutely clear that we view settlement activity as illegitimate and unequivocally oppose unilateral steps that prejudge the future of Jerusalem. Close quote. To me, it is heartbreaking. But fulfilling scripture that says all nations will come against her, judgment is so close. And you know, without a shadow of any doubt, that after the election next week, those executive orders will start flying off Obama's desk. And what about all the ones he's already written that we don't even know about? Could a false flag be implemented with yet another Ebola scare? That ISIS is weaponizing Ebola? That's the latest read. And they are attempting to kickstart a plague in the United States through the open southern borders, maybe? Of course, this is after the election. This would force Obama to declare martial law and quarantine millions. It might even continue, and then he could cancel the 2016 elections. Okay, I know what you are thinking. Another conspiracy theory, because I've thought the same thing once or twice myself. But they do occasionally turn out to be right on. Please remember who we are really fighting here, folks, and it's not flesh and blood. Makes more sense when you remember to look at it the way the enemy does, and he knows his time is short. But here's the real kicker. Did you hear about the new Ebola czar, Ron Klein, that Obama just appointed to head this problem? He was asked in an interview what he thought the top leadership issue challenging our world today is. Can you imagine what his answer was? Overpopulation. Yep. Are you kidding me? That's exactly what the globalist's main objective is. Again, you know, you couldn't even make this stuff up. Please do your own homework on the topic, but either way, do all you can do to stay healthy, and you'd better be giving up all that junk food because sugar plays havoc on the immune system. An update on ISIS is that they are claiming they have taken Kobani in Syria, but the Kurds are adding to their fighting army and insist there is still hope, even though ISIS has acquired heat-seeking shoulder-fired missiles that can and has shot at U.S. helicopters flying overhead. You know, around 3.5 million civilians have fled Syria into Turkey and Jordan. Meetings in Berlin are in progress discussing the refugee situation. At the same time, more ISIS fighting continues in Iraq, still performing numerous car bombs in Baghdad, and as you know, over here in the United States, we are now dealing with lone Muslim radical sympathizers to ISIS who have begun killing Americans, targeting law officials in particular. Pray for them, saints of God. And I will be teaching this Thursday, the 30th, at Lakeshore Assembly of God in Mentor. That's 888 Lakeshore Boulevard. Why not tell someone you know that might live in that vicinity? And as always, the first Friday of November, which is the 7th, at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland. And that's 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306. Please remember, it really is you that keeps this program going. Please pray about sending any amount to Shofar Ministries, P.O. Box 513, in Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or through PayPal on our webpage, shofarministries.net. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues. Right now.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord, and good evening. You are listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, and the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is Kent Littlejohn, your co-host, with our steadfast Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And I always want to remind our listeners about the website, shofarministries.net. Should you want to re-listen to this program or any of our other programs, all archived, for your learning pleasure, hopefully to share with others. Sheila, will you open the program with a prayer?
I will. Oh, Lord, we come to you this evening in humility of such an awesome, great, and very patient God, knowing soon that judgment on all the world is soon to come, as we are already focusing that lens, seeing every day more clearly. And Lord, I just pray right now that all your necessary events be fulfilled. And may those who are called by your name stay steadfast in our missions of proclaiming truth and be ready to give godly answers to all who ask. We earnestly pray for the requests that have come in this month, especially for all the salvations of the loved ones. May you send ambassadors to their softened hearts. Be with us tonight and bless with abundance those tuning in to hear and study your word. And Lord, I pray that you watch over our children this weekend. In particular, protect them from the evil one. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And the phone lines are open. If you have an end time question, questions, comments, 888-677-WORD, or you can email during the program, shofarlive@yahoo.com. What's our topic tonight?
Okay, well, we're going to look at All Saints Day and All Souls Day. You know, as a prior Catholic, people ask me to explain the difference. So we can get to that. But first, with Devil's Night coming this weekend, don't you think that needs to be addressed too?
Definitely.
I knew you would. You know, Kent, this is what I hear every year. And it goes something like this. Okay, I'm only letting my child go to a few of the neighbors, and they are dressing up as friendly characters. There's nothing wrong with that. And anyhow, what about at the school with all their dress-up parties going on? Well, hopefully not at Christian schools. And by the way, in today's world, and this is my opinion, young couples should postpone marriage till they are able to afford a Christian education when the children arrive. Or at least be willing to homeschool.
If that'll even be allowed in 5 years, that's how serious things are becoming.
I know. Ultimately, what you do for Halloween is between you and God. But perhaps you'll rethink your position, which is why we are going to give you some background about this coming event. And actually, we're only going to be skimming the service, Kent, and, you know, there's plenty of books that have been written about this night. But let's just look at some of the facts. Fair enough?
Sure is.
Okay. In these last days, especially, we see the secular world more than ever heavily, I mean heavily, embracing Halloween as their most favorite time of the year.
Well, excuse me, Sheila. I see it inside the church, and some offer alternatives, but yet some don't.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yes, and however, there is a remnant that, because they study God's word, still recognize evil when they see it. A lot of people just don't see the evil in it. But why would anyone want to take part of something that is proven to be inherently wicked? You know, Kent, for by condoning, you are really promoting. And so wickedness, in a sense, has been given permission to increase its wickedness.
And I think a lot of it has to do with not understanding the history of it all, which that's what we're going to seek to do tonight.
We're going to try to do that.
Uncover some of that.
Yeah. In fact, don't we have a scripture on the about this wickedness?
And we just found one this week. In fact, it just speaks to it almost perfectly. In Psalms 12, verse 8, it says in the original Hebrew that the wicked walk around on every side when evil is exalted by the sons of men.
Wow. They walk around on every side. One might even say it's a form of worshiping evil when you're partaking in things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I have a suggestion. Why not let your children dress up for Purim on a totally different day? The costumes of that day were pretty amazing. But we don't, because we don't even recognize God's feasts or victories over the enemy recorded in our Bibles. Instead, America promotes Devil's Night. Oh, it's really, if you think about it, pretty amazing. Do we have another scripture, Kent, about this?
Sure. Deuteronomy 19, put away evil from among you. In Isaiah 5:20 even says, they will call good evil and evil good.
Boy, I do use that scripture quite often, because I have never seen it more true today.
Mm-hmm.
Evil good and good evil.
Right.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just breathtaking to me. Sorry, I have to gasp, because anyway, there's hundreds of scriptures addressing this. Just look in your Strong's, and you will see how important this topic is. Just look up the word evil. It's in there hundreds of times. And in fact, God even says that we shouldn't even look upon evil.
And why do you think he would say that, to not even look at evil?
Well, let me give you what I think might be a good example. You know, if you take your little son or daughter out on Halloween and someone in a devil's mask comes up and boos at them, you know that image could stay with them and possibly even harm them spiritually. You know, parents, you are responsible for your children's spirituality. Please, just do right by them.
Right. So let's just get into a little history, if you don't mind.
Okay, thanks for keeping me on track. Since time is always of the essence, and I do sometimes go on and on, don't I? Anyway, Halloween goes way back before Christianity to a Celtic festival of the dead. The Celtic peoples were originally from ancient Britain and Ireland, and later found all over Europe. But according to their calendar, the year began on November 1st. And this date marked the beginning of winter for them. It wasn't the winter solstice, but a time when cattle and sheep had to be moved to closer, more secured pastures, and the crops were stored for the winter months. And by the way, they would also celebrate the beginning of summer, and they called it Beltane. And that actually means the fires of Bel or Baal. And they would do that on the last night of April. And another fact is that the Celtic calendar days also begin at sundown and went to sundown the next day.
Kind of like the Hebrew calendar day?
Days, yes, but mm-hmm. That's all it has in common. Just want to point that out. But these Celtic people engaged in occultic arts and worshiped nature and the universe, giving it supernatural, idolatry-like qualities.
I see how really there's nothing new under the sun. For instance, New Age isn't really anything new.
Nor has it ever been. It's always the same. But anyway, they're learned but pagan priests were called the Druids. Most people have heard about them. And their beliefs and practices were similar to Hinduism, such as reincarnation and the transmigration of the soul, where bad people who had died that year may be reborn as animals.
So if I didn't do too good, I might come back as a cockroach or something?
Yep, that's what they believed.
Wow.
It's just amazing, isn't it, to see how in the world they could come up with this? Oh, I guess that was a stupid statement. I know exactly how they came up with it. Satan himself. Anyhow, this transference occurred at what they called the Festival of Samhain, or the Lord of Death. And guess what day that fell?
I'm just going to go on a limb here. October 31st, which is Halloween.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So anyway, as time went on, instead of the Feast of Samhain, it finally just started being called by the pagan priest name of Druidism. So some of it morphed into different varieties of thinking depending on the country. But the main rituals came from the deepest part of hell, involving human sacrifices of children and the drinking of their blood and even eating their flesh, what we call cannibalism. And that is a fact. It's been reported in National Geographic of May of back as far as 1977. It's in the Harper's Encyclopedia. It's in the book by Alexander Hislop called The Two Babylons. It's an amazing book. And many other confirmations out there as well.
Well, we see demonic pure and simple. It's still out there today, and it goes by other names like ISIS. But, you know, they, like the Druids, do very heinous acts.
Oh, yes. I've seen pictures of them eating human flesh today.
So let me just recap here. If I understand correctly, the night before their new year, November 1st, and the last day of the old year, this Lord of Death would gather the souls of evil dead who had died over the past year and condemn them to enter the bodies of animals?
Yeah, particularly black cats, but not exclusively. It was evil's supreme night of demonic jubilation. This was a celebration of the beginning of winter, but more importantly, darkness. For the daylight grew noticeably shorter, as we know, and the night grew longer.
And to add to that darkness, America, of course, chose this weekend to make it even darker by going back in an hour, erasing daylight savings time.
Yeah, why would they pick this weekend to do that? Well, it certainly worked because now it's going to be darker on Halloween. But there's a little break this year because Halloween is actually Friday and we don't change the time until Saturday.
Well, that's a relief.
Yes. Anyhow, on this night, the hordes of hell would roam the countryside in a wild celebration of darkness and death, all in honor of the false god called Samhain. Some would give offerings of food and drink left on doorsteps for the ghosts, and they would pass by to the west, always in the direction of the dying sun at sunset. And if not pacified, the villagers actually thought, since they feared the spirits, that they would kill their flocks or destroy their property. Apparently that might have happened on a few occasions. But later on, they felt the only thing these superstitious people knew to do to protect themselves was to masquerade as one of the demonic horde and hopefully blend in unnoticed among them. This is the origin of Halloween masquerading as devils, imps, ogres, and other demonic creatures.
So they openly blended in with these demons?
Right. Very dangerous and definitely not funny.
That's like inviting unwanted guests.
Yeah, they were.
Wow.
And, you know, that's all Satan needs and his cohorts is an open door.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in.
Yeah, I can see how that would, like a Ouija board, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So they even used numerous lighted candles, but some inside real skulls. And they would carry them around for the spirit's guidance in their ceremonies, which included sacrifices to the god Samhain. And they had huge bonfires, giving various gifts and offering many prayers to the false god for protection from other false gods, or what they called evil spirits. My, my. And, of course, that would wander off to possibly migrate into the people. But whatever name you choose to use, it really just all goes back to Baal, which is what the name was in the Old Testament, but it's really Satan.
Okay, I get that, but where do we get all this kid stuff going out for trick-or-treating?
Well, there are different customs according to different countries, and this is really only an American takeover of Halloween.
Right, and after all, Satan had to have his special feast night here as well.
That's right, because we're talking now up to this point all back, you know, before
was
Christianity.
Mainly Europe, maybe?
In Europe,
in
yeah.
In the initial
mm-hmm.
stages?
So, actually, it was not really practiced here until the 20th century. And then it became a secular at first observance, and many various customs and practices have since developed. But the carved pumpkin originally was just a large turnip, most likely originated with the witch's use of a skull with a candle inside. And it was really to light the way to these coven meetings that they would have. Then eventually kids would dress up as something evil and knocking on doors saying, if you give us a treat, and that would start with a small cake or a cookie, these goblins and spirits would leave you alone.
And of course today you could even get egged if you don't open your door, huh?
Yes, I've seen that. Or toilet papered or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but anyway, it eventually turned into costume, into any costume, trying to get some distance away from the more sinister to the more acceptable and cute. And that really wouldn't be as bad, except it's still the same night, and there are more wicked people out there today than back then. In fact, Satanists, like the Samhains, do use this day for their masses and ritual sacrifices. And today has involved, since first in America, and there's no denying it, is Satan's favorite holiday. In fact, it's called Satan's Feast Day by the card-carrying Satanists who can demand the day off work even as a religious holiday. And most places of employment encourage workers to dress in a costume.
It'd be hard to find any restaurant or store that doesn't have decorations over their establishment.
Absolutely. And we got to remember, Satan tries to pervert everything good from God. And he's pretty successful. The rising of this dead, of course, is just a blasphemous perversion of the Christian belief in the resurrection with the glorified immortal body. So death is glorified, and we see it all over the place. Even with these new movies out, you know, the vampire movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, after the church was birthed, and after the Emperor of Rome, Constantine, had compromised and joined with the pagans.
I think we're talking around, what, 313 A.D., something like that?
Yes, we are. And therefore, still believing, or at least wanting the people to believe that on the 31st of October, the bad spirits roamed. The one world universal Catholic Church made the next day, which is November 1st, All Saints Day, celebrating by attending Mass to honor the saints now in heaven, who they say constantly intercede to God for us.
Okay, so November 1st is All Saints Day. But wasn't there like an All Souls Day as well?
Yes, there was. And you know what? As soon as we take a break and play this wonderful song, I'm going to come back and explain the difference.
All right.
And by the way, this song is by Sister Janet Mead, and it's the Our Father, which talks about asking God to protect us from the evil one. So I just thought it was a fitting,
very appropriate
song and a great prayer. So I hope you all enjoy it. Well, welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was also a wonderful prayer in the Bible. Of course, we all know it, the Our Father. And she just does a wonderful job, Sister Janet Mead. And hope you really enjoyed that.
Would you like Sheila to speak at your church or group or have a question? You may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. Or just call the office, 440-834-9006, and please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour.
That's right, and be sure to check out the webpage. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may order teaching DVDs as well.
And the lines are open. The number for your end-time questions, 888-677-WORD, that's 9673. And just as a quick reminder, your donations are tax-deductible and are very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
That's right, and you can also email us at shofarlive@yahoo.com, but only during the program. And I do want to mention, too, that we had a caller from Kevin, and we're sorry we didn't get to you. But they also said that you just wanted to explain why we didn't, or why we thought Halloween was evil or something. So I can see why you probably didn't hold on the phone, because you can see that's exactly what we're doing.
Yep, we're going to finish answering that question if you keep listening in.
That's right. And a reminder, Shofar Ministries meets the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian, Center in Chester Lynn. And please tell a friend about this end of days ministry, because referrals are always a good thing, aren't they?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. That's right.
All right, we're going to get back to our teaching now, and we were talking about November 1st is on the Catholic calendar is All Saints Day, and that was a time when we, as I was growing up a Catholic, would celebrate the day by attending Mass, and we would honor the saints who died, who are now in heaven, who actually constantly intercede to God for us. We all had our favorite saint, and I had my saint that I would pray to, and we recognized them especially on All Saints Day. Now, the next day, at some point in time, and again, this was a little confusing to me as a Catholic child, but I've done some research, and around the 11th century, they added the next day, November 2nd, as All Souls Day. And this would memorialize a family's loved one who had died within that same year. And we would go to their graves and we would pray for them and light candles. Where on this day, it would be a good departed spirit or soul could finally leave purgatory and go into heaven. If their time was fulfilled, or if enough indulgences of money to the church had been paid by the dead person's loved one.
So it became a day of to literally pray for the dead to get released from purgatory? Is that what they believe?
Absolutely. It sounds unbelievable, but it's absolutely true. And of course, we know this is against Scripture. And as a Catholic, I really did that. And then it was very important to my family. And going to Catholic Church, we prayed for the dead daily anyway, but more so on All Souls Day. And depending on the day of the week, it could be a holy day as well. And we would go to Mass. And it depended on whether it was a Sunday and the weekend, and I just don't remember all those details. But the one thing is, we have to remember that Scripture does talk about making a child stumble. Well, me as a Catholic, I was taught heresy, and that's why in good conscience, we just can't let it happen to others. We must get the word out, and so I always talk about it. And
this time of year. Huh?
Yeah, especially this time of year. People don't like it. A lot of people yell at me, but I know what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but back to Halloween. On October 31st, I find it pretty remarkable that Martin Luther chose October 31st, 1517, to nail his famous 95 Reasons to Break Away from the Catholic Church. It's called the 95 Theses, and it was actually nailed to the Catholic Church door in Wittenberg, Germany, which started the movement known today as the Reformation, Protestantism. Now, to me, I believe that had to be a jubilee year, don't you, Kent?
It had to be, for the Reformation is the single most important event in modern history.
And then other things every 50 years after that kind of fit in as well. But anyway, that's for another night. But one of the heresies that Martin Luther was protesting against was the sale of indulgences for souls in purgatory. And in case you don't know what indulgence is, it would be money paid to the church, and it would get your loved one out of purgatory. Now, if you think about it, that is just amazing how they ever could even think that was true.
And again, this was All Souls Day, correct?
Correct, but we would pay the money all year long.
Right. So, fitting for sure to talk about this.
That's true. Now, because the Feast of Samhain is now called Halloween.
Now, where did Halloween come from?
Well, from England, actually. Saints, you have to remember, saints are holy people, are called hallowed. Hence the name All Hallows Day. So the evening before the feast became popularly known as All Hallows Eve, or even shorter than Halloween. Now, seriously, Halloween is a door that can lead to a serious entanglement with the occult, which has become increasingly popular. I'm actually amazed. You know, a common pastime, especially on Halloween, is the use of a Ouija board to, as you already said, Kent, to attempt to contact evil spirits, which could have serious consequences, including demon possession. And I know you're all thinking of the movie that we saw many years ago, The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a true story. And that's exactly how it happened. Now, demons have a vested interest in Halloween, knowing opportunities are more open to them to possess to or to at least control and influence particularly the young, and can introduce forces into people's lives that they are not equipped to combat.
You know, I don't tell a lot of people this, but I have had that experience before. At a very young age, I opened that door. And when you do dabble into the occult, it's as if you open the door to your home. Your body is the home, right, of that spirit. So when you open that door, you know, you're inviting unwanted guests in.
That's right.
And it wasn't until later in life that Jesus set me free from that. And I thank him so much for that. So
amen to that.
But that experience that you just described, I've been through that.
Wow.
So it's very real, folks. It's nothing to mess with.
That's right. Just don't take it lightly. Because there really is genuine power in the occult. And it's always demonic. Read that scripture in Ephesians 6, Kent.
It says that we do wrestle against the rulers of darkness. These are demons.
That's right.
Either you believe the word or you don't. That's really what it comes down to.
That's really what it does come down to, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, people taunt him. You know, you participate in his activities. You're taunting him. Come on. Come on in. Come on, get me. You know, and in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, avoid all forms of evil and do not imitate it. That's in 3 John 11. And then there's one in Jeremiah 10:2-3. It says, learn not the way of the heathen. And, of course, anyone that's unrighteous, the secular world, in God's eyes, are heathens. For the customs of those people are vain. And then, Ken, could you maybe read 2 Corinthians 6, I think it's around 15?
And what commonality or accord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath that he believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God.
We are.
As God had said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate.
That's right. Come out from among them, and be separate. We're not supposed to be like the heathens. We are supposed to be separate. Hello, anybody out there? Don't join in. You know, any serious study of biblical demonology will reveal Satan as the power behind our false religions, all of them. Witchcraft as well, mediums, spiritists, and idolatry. The Word of God makes it clear that these are all to be shunned as dangerous and they are expressly prohibited.
It used to be that occultism in any form was punishable by death.
Yes. And by the way, the Catholic Church did it often as an excuse to get rid of its enemies that were calling them out.
As you can read in the Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Oh, I highly recommend that. It's a great book. And yet many, some being parents with small children, even encourage devil masks, evil costumes, and witches' brooms, etc. I know if you don't believe in God, that you probably don't believe in the devil either. But you are probably then in the greatest danger due to your ignorance.
But Christian adults, and I use this term loosely, are doing it too, and thereby giving a sordid example to their children by professing to know Jesus and yet celebrating what's undeniably a night of encouraging dark motives.
Well, it really does. I mean, it does. Unfortunately, the so naive disregard the dangers and insist it's just a fun day for the little ones to go to a few neighbors and ask for poison. Oh, I'm sorry, I mean candy. I wish it was just that. But in reality, it can be dangerous. Not just in eating too much sugar, which we know is very unhealthy, but spiritually as well, since many of the seemingly harmless involvements associated with Halloween can, as I've already stated, also be entries to the occult and can prove very tragic for the unwary. You know, if your child has nightmares a lot, it could be because of something they might have seen.
Or, yes, we know definitely that a young child can even look on an evil mask or face, and it causes nightmares and lasting images in their minds.
So, let's take a stand, church, and do not recognize this night of sorcery, where there are many parties, seances, fortune-telling, satanic masses are held on this night, even sacrificing, for sure, animals, and in some cases, small babies that were conceived for this purpose with no record of birth, so not to be missed.
That's horrible.
It's very horrible. There is no question that human sacrifices are occurring today and are on the increase. There are more than 2 million children missing every year, as well as dogs and cats. At least 7,000 children are found dead every year, along with cattle mutilations with organs removed. The highest Black Sabbath mass is on the evening of October 31st. This is a time of proclaiming powers for control and leadership in the satanic realm world systems. The blood sacrifices to attain spiritual power from Satan are offered up to the god of Baal worship in the form of a Baphomet, the sun god Ra, and to the goddess of fertility, Diana. And these names vary according to area.
Do all followers have to participate?
Yes. Followers of Satan must give a blood sacrifice. Now, some will give their own blood. Others offer animals' blood.
I assume more power they want, the greater the sacrifice should be.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Ugh.
And there is every conceivable type of orgy going on. And that actually begins from the 18th of October. And it gets more perverse as it reaches its peak of wickedness on the 31st of October. Those who have been set free testify that real disembodied spirits are loosed. And they're actually competed for by these spiritualists, these witches and druids and wizards, and direct Satan worshippers. All of the corrupt, evil wickedness and vile filth one could imagine happens. So they're really calling on these evil entities to enter into them.
You know, I'm reminded of Ephesians 5:11 that says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them."
Well, isn't that what we're doing?
It sounds familiar.
Right. Yeah. We have to reprove this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Call it out. So, please, instead, make this a night of praying with your children, over your children for protection, and include other innocent children in your neighborhood. I am not against having a Bible harvest party, but does it have to be the same night? Can't you do it like the next night or the night before? Never on October 31st. You know, a real good time would be during Tabernacles for Jesus' real birthday. Wouldn't that be a good time to have a harvest party, Kent?
I would think. And should one come to your door, you could even tell them why you don't recognize this holiday.
That's right. And, you know, during the Feast of Tabernacles, you can even build a sukkah out there and let the kids really have fun in that, maybe even sleep out in it one night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can really do a lot, and you can tell them, we're doing this because we don't celebrate Halloween. So you're getting your fun tonight.
And
give them treats.
It's not a legalistic type thing to do that. It's just a fun thing to do.
It's for the kids.
You know, so.
And they do need this kind of stuff. So naturally they're looking forward to having Halloween because we don't do other things.
And it's an opportunity to teach the feast, which is really the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And when we get closer to Christmas, I'll tell you why I don't ever talk about Santa Claus either. But anyway, when these kids come to your door, you can say something. I mean, I don't think you should just maybe not answer the door. Maybe you could. I don't know. But if you do, please say something about the Lord Jesus. Plant some seeds. Don't give them sugar. Give them a tract or something. And especially give a tract to the parents. I mean, that's really who you should give a tract to, don't you think, Kent?
I think, you know, the fruit might come later if the tracts land in the sacks and the parents read the tracts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That fruit may bear. But the Bible warns us to be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, which is 1 Peter 5:8. And he's after you, he's after your family and your children.
You know, we are warned not to be ignorant of Satan's devices in 2 Corinthians 2:11. So that's why we're talking about it. And I know people are going to say, oh, you're making a big deal out of it. It's not that. Well, that's not true. Because it is an open door. Why do you want to open it? Christians should begin to pray for their families, church leaders, and cover the children with the blood of Jesus. And the protection of God during these days. These are evil times. And it's not just during Halloween, I'm noticing. We've got some evil going on all the time anymore.
It seems to be the birth pangs that I think we read about.
Well, Matthew. We're seeing the foreshadows, that's right. For sure. The Braxton Hicks contractions, you know, before the real labor begins.
Right.
You know, I look at some of these YouTube things of these video songs and like Katy Perry and all these, that some of the things that they do are just so demonic.
Well, even in Matthew describing the volume of earthquakes that would take place.
And the earthquakes, yeah.
If you haven't noticed, that's been exponentially increasing.
Oh, yeah. There's like, I don't know how many every day.
Right. So,
of course, then someone will say, oh, no, that's always been going on. We just weren't able to record it. No. Not so. In the last 100 years, we've been able to record it, and it has definitely increased. So don't give me that.
It's on the increase, for sure. Yeah.
That's right. So anyhow, be careful this weekend. Please bind the powers of darkness and loose the power of God. And that's according to Scripture, Matthew 18:18. I know I'm going to be. I'm not going to be out and about. I'm going to be right here praying.
That's good, and I will as well.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to end the program tonight. I just want to make an announcement. We are not going to be here next week due to sports programming, so we'll see you in 2 weeks. So be sure to vote on November 4th. This is more important than the president's voting, you know, because once they get to be up that, you know, that high, the globalists have already gotten to them. But this is your local county. Be sure that good people are voted in, you know, like on your school board. We're talking about this Common Core stuff. We need good people on school boards. You need moral judges in your own communities, in your courts, because, again, once they get to Washington, they get to them. But locally, next Tuesday is where you can make a difference, and that's where you got to focus on, is your own community. You want to keep it to as high godly standards as you possibly can. So, yeah, that means you're going to have to find out what kind of people are running in your district. So you still have a week. The information is out there. I encourage you and implore you to do so. So now, precious one, if you are listening out there, maybe you've tuned in by accident and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life. Remember, Christ died on the cross for you. He went through hell for you. And he even stands today at the door of your heart and knocks. Everybody gets a knock on the heart at least once in their lifetime. And the Bible says that he stands at your door And if you hear him, you got to open the door. And he says, if you do that, I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me. But I have to tell you, he won't crash the door down. Revelation 3:20 says he stands and waits at the door. You've got to open it. Don't open it for the enemy. Open it for Jesus Christ. But it's your move. And you and I are beneficiaries of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. And also I'm talking to you that are in name-only Christians, like Matthew 7 talks about, who only has a head knowledge of him and not a heart conviction. Get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away that you've just heard. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Jesus, the Messiah. And he's there for anyone who wants him. Because he doesn't send you to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It really is your call. So don't be a fool. And now we're going to close with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Yevarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yineka, Yisei Adonav panav eleka v'ya sem leha shalom.
And the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Till then, until 2 weeks from tonight, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem.
And please,
please pray.
For the peace of Jerusalem, for those who love her, Jerusalem shall prosper.
And that's not maybe, and of course you can find that in Psalm 122, 6. And also, please pray for the innocent victims that ISIS is killing terribly so. It's an evil world out there, and we need to cover them with the blood of Jesus. Pray for salvations. And be that witness that God wants you to be. Be that missionary. Fulfill your mission as a Christian. And that, of course, is to tell everyone you can about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, till we meet again.
God bless everyone, and good evening.
Thanks
good evening.
For spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.